Hello and welcome back to Guiding God's Girls. For all of you that are new, I'm Shiloh, and today we have a special guest, Miss Lisa.
Thank you, Shiloh. I'm happy to be here today with you.
So it's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast and to be speaking on such an incredible topic of prayer and what our prayer life should be like, and how we can be effective in prayer. I know that you are one of the most amazing prayer warriors, so I thought, what, couldn't have found a better person to speak on this than you. My first question for you is, what is the most or the best piece of prayer advice that you have gotten over the years, either by an individual or something you read in the Bible, just something that's really changed your walk with God?
Well, if I think about advice that somebody gave to me or that I picked up along the way, then I would say, be sincere. So when you come to God, don't come with puffed upness. Don't come with these ideas of how you should act before God, because it's not an act. Yeah. To really be sincere in your prayer to God.
So like, to expand that, I bet you mean just not having that, like being honest before God is kind of what you mean.
Yes, okay. And also transparent. Not to hide from Him, but to be transparent. So if there is anything in your life that you need to confess, confess it. Get it out before you even start to pray.
That's very smart. So tell us a bit about your prayer life. When did you start to really dive into prayer and see prayer how it should be seen? Like, when you pray, do you go on your knees? Do you lift your hands? Like, what are some things that you do, and just something that's you do for your prayer walk with God?
Well, okay, so I'll start with the background part of it. I grew up in a church that really, to them, prayer was that you just pray to God, but they didn't believe in the power. They didn't believe in prayer as even be effective or even being answered.
Wow.
So that always raised the question in my mind is, why do you pray? If you're not going to ask God for something or you're not going to believe, why do you pray? Then when I got saved, I realized I didn't know how to pray. So I asked God to help me and said to Him, I don't know how to pray. Please help me. I don't know how to talk to you. So God gave me some books that I read through and just to help me to get going on starting to pray.
What books were those that you read?
Well, those were Afrikaans books. And if translated, it would be Changing Your Life Through Prayer.
Wow.
Was the one book that I wrote.
Do you know who wrote that?
Benny Mostert.
Okay.
So it might even have the book in English, but that was kind of like I translated it to English. But so that's when I started off. And then after that, I was hungry for more because I realized that that there was this hunger to really connect with God, that I don't want to be just praying so I can have a check mark that I prayed to you today, God, and move on. I wanted to really connect with God, that it feels that I am in line with God, that my heart is in line with God. So that started my journey, and I got involved at a prayer meeting at a church where I would pray once a week with other people, and that helped me a lot too because they were a lot more, they've done it a lot longer. So I could see how they do it, and watch the whole prayer meeting would start off with everybody praying in tongues for at least like 10 minutes, that you would just hear people praying in tongues, and then we would start praying over prayer requests that we received from people. That helped me quite a bit too to understand how to connect with God. And from there, God helped me. He helped me throughout my life with just being able to connect deeper, to peel away the layers. Because it turns out that sometimes we have these layers build up and the walls. And it's really breaking down all the walls so that when you come in prayer, you come and there's no walls between you, God.
Mm.
And you say, Lord, here I am. Just want to talk to you. And it's about relationship. It's not about doing a religious tradition. Prayer is not a religious tradition that you have to do because you're a Christian. It is really relationship with God.
Mm. That's so good. Wow. And how do you, would you say you would break down those walls of tradition? And I know a lot of people have repetitive prayers that they pray every day, or things like that. But how would you say you should break that down and just, like you said, be in a relationship with God?
It means that you have to open your heart to God, to the most intimate part that you haven't told anybody else. It means that you tell God that hidden deep down heart issues that is at the very core of your heart, and let him into that area. Because when he's into that area, then that's that fully known, fully loved. Because now God knows everything about you, and you trust God with everything about you. There is no secrets, there's no hidden space that you tell God, no, don't touch. You're saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. And the more you do it, the more you will realize that he wants to help you. It's all about helping you, equipping you, to make you the person that he has dreamt for you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he prayers also for him to give you instructions, to talk to you, to help you, like a parent would do. A parent would listen to what you say, and then they would give you advice.
Yeah.
Or they would pray with you, or they would care over you, love over you, whatever it is that you need. And that's what we do, basically coming to the Father. He is our Father.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he does with us, is he helps us, he cares for us, he loves us. He gives us the answers that we need. And God always answers. He answers prayer.
Mm-hmm. So what's something that, a miracle that God has answered for you? What's something that you prayed for years and you sought God on and you had that desire to, like, for the answer or for whatever it was that you got from God? What's something that God answered a prayer for you for?
Well, the biggest one by far that has touched my heart, and I would for always be grateful to God, is that we couldn't have kids, and 6 years we prayed and asked God for a kid, and then he gave us a wonderful boy as our son. And that is prayer answered in such a mighty way. And it helps you too when God answers your prayer in such a mighty way that when you go on your journey and you still feel like sometimes you're hitting the roof with your prayers, they don't go past the roof, or you don't know what the answer is, then it helps me when I'm reminded that, but wait, God answered this. So whatever I'm bringing to him now, he can also answer.
Mm-hmm.
He is capable of answering all of our prayers.
Mm-hmm. Did you use a lot of scripture, like, when praying for that specifically? Did you, like, bring different people in the Bible and just, like, pray about those people or read stories, like, when you were going through that journey for 6 years?
Yes, I did. I read everything I could about Abraham, who struggled to have kids. I read everything about Hannah, trying to see what in their history changed their circumstances, what brought change about. I read everything about Zechariah and Elizabeth as well. So I tried to look at all the stories in the Bible where people had difficulty having children to see what brought them the breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I did a lot was I listened to the Gospels over and over again, and I listened to Jesus' words because I wanted to see what helped those people. Why did they have their prayers answered? And it's simple. They ask. Everybody who asked Jesus did receive. Everybody who went to him got healed, and he used two common phrases every time. It's either that your sins are forgiven you forgiven you,
mm-hmm.
or your faith has made you whole.
Yes, so, yes, I've seen that trend too, yeah.
So I was kind of like leaning towards, I don't know which one I fell into. Was it, Lord, do I have sins that I need to confess to be forgiven so that it would happen? Or is it my faith that's going to make me whole?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at a lot of those things to, yes, in my prayer life. And yes, I do use a lot of scripture sometimes to pray. I would also use worship songs to pray.
Hmm. So do you, would you say that you like, do you go on lots of prayer walks? I know you mentioned you speak in tongues. I know in the Bible it speaks about closing the closet door and praying by yourself. Or like, do you journal when you pray? What are some things that you do?
Well, yes. So being a mom and working, it's sometimes difficult to go on a prayer walk.
Mm-hmm.
My most favorite time of the week, though, or time that I have that I could do, is Saturday mornings before anybody wakes up and the house is very quiet. Then I get up very, very early, and that I have at least an hour and a half. I used to do only an hour, and then I realized that an hour is not enough, because before I know it, the hour is gone, and there's still much more, especially when I am writing things down. So yes, I do journal things that God gives me, also because he told me that I shouldn't come to prayer without something to write with.
That's very good.
I do take notes, and yes, I need at least an hour and a half connection time with God.
Wow. Another question that someone had was, can Satan and or his demons hear our prayers? So for me personally, I used to actually be very like upset and like anxious in a way that whenever I'd speak or pray to God, that I would feel like, oh, the enemy's hearing me and I don't want to pray these things. Like, let's say you're going through a really hard time and you're saying these things out loud of how you're feeling, then it's like, can the enemy use these things that you're saying? And can he, like, you know, twist them around?
Well, I'm not sure that I have found a scripture in the Bible to really say either one, like Satan hears you or Satan doesn't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is that the power of God is greater than enemies. Yep. So even when you do pray, and that honest prayer, and be transparent before God, even if the enemy hears it, God's power is still greater. So whatever answer you are expecting from God, the enemy cannot stop it. The enemy can maybe hinder it, because if you look at Daniel, his prayer was hindered, where he waited 21 days for it to be answered. And then once the angel did come, he said, well, I had to fight off the prince of Persia in order for me to get to you. So you can see that the answer can be hindered, but it cannot be stopped.
I see. Yes, that makes sense. Wow. It's definitely, I had to work through that for a long time. But whoever's going through that, just, it's important to remember, like Miss Lisa was saying, that God's, like, the power of the prayer is so much more important. And God is so much bigger, even when sometimes it's hard to see it. So what has been the most difficult aspect of prayer for you? I know you mentioned not being able to have a son for 6 years. So that could have been, it could have been a barrier for you and your relationship with God. But like, what is something that has just been difficult for you in prayer? And maybe you've gotten over, or you can share your experience with that.
Well, I can go back to the beginning as to when I didn't know how to pray, and that was the barrier I had to overcome, was that I had absolutely no idea how to connect with my Heavenly Father. I didn't know what to say. I would sit in my room and know I want to pray, and I would sit there and be like, so what do I say now? What's my next words going to be? I knew God was there and that he would listen and he would hear my prayer. So I was always also trying to be like, okay, I gotta pick my words right. I cannot be sitting here just talking and not think about my words towards God. I was aware of that, but I had no way of connecting. And that created frustration, enough frustration in me that I wanted to find out how I can connect to God, how I can pray and bring down heaven to earth.
Yeah.
That your prayers be effective. Because that's the other thing. God does answer, but it also comes from your prayers. What do you do to have your prayers being effective? Like, there's a scripture that says, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also up to us to make sure that there isn't any barrier in our prayer life to God when we pray. So if there is, get rid of it. Meaning either if it is confessing your sins or if it is to things that the walls that we talked about earlier that you build up, get rid of them. Because you can trust God. He's not going to hurt you. He's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So get rid of the walls. Get rid of the barriers. Get rid of what's holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because let God into the most intimate part of your life.
Yeah. Do you find you're the one who talks the most during prayer time? Or is it like a balance of you and God? Or how do you make sure that you're not talking too much? Or that was another question someone had about making sure that, like, firstly, how do you start off prayer? And then second was, like, do you talk the whole time? Do you repent in the beginning? Things like that.
Well, so I'll use my Saturday mornings. What I do is I would come to God and I would just kind of start a conversation with him. Basically, what happened during my week, things that I thought about, things that he even brought to my heart. And I'm like, this is the time that I can talk to you about what you put on my heart earlier this week. So I would talk to him about that, and I would talk to him about concerns, like my son, concerns that I have about school, things like that. And then after all that's done, because I find too that whatever is on your mind and that you're concerned, that you're worried about, or that's consuming a lot of your thought life will come out then. So get it out of the way first. So I would lay all these things and maybe take like 15 minutes. I don't take long on that. I would take maybe 15 minutes and say, Lord, here this is. And then I put it down and say, this is now done. Please remove it from me because now I want to move on. So then I would start to think about scripture, think about, Lord, what is it that you want to talk to me? And then I would allow time that I would just be quiet. Like that scripture says that, those that, I can't think about it fast enough. We'll come back to that one. But it's really basically just saying that we quiet ourselves down and we wait on the Lord.
Oh, yes.
So we wait on the Lord. And the way that you wait on the Lord is really waiting on him. It means that you don't say anything. It means that you don't have thoughts about what you're going to eat later or what you're going to do tomorrow. Or what you did yesterday. It's really just clearing your mind and wait on him. Now, that is hard to do.
I was about to say, as women, we always have something going through our mind.
That is hard to do because you'd be sitting there for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then your mind starts wandering. And really what I do is I would have scripture that I would just like bring my mind back to it, like say, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's going to talk to me. And I would just continue to bring myself back to, I'm waiting on the Lord. I know he's going to come. I know he's going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just listen to what God says to me. And sometimes it would just be the peace. The peace would be there because when you just sit and wait on the Lord, you realize how peaceful it is around you. So the first thing that you notice is just the peace that is all around you.
Mm.
And then the next thing that you, sometimes happen is he would either give me visions or I would fall into like a almost sleep where you see, which is basically visions. So I don't know, sometimes it seems like it's either a dream or a vision. It's really hard for me to discern between the two.
Yeah.
But then, and then after that, I would start writing it down, just what he showed me. And then whatever comes up, whatever next comes up that we talk about. That's why I say that an hour is not enough anymore, because it's so quick and it's done.
So because your week is so busy, do you like have certain moments that you try to spend a certain amount with God? And then you said Saturdays you have an hour and a half. Or what does that look like when you have a really busy week and obviously you're a mom and you're trying to do dishes and then make food and then go here, there? How do you manage that part of, let's say, Monday to Friday when you're in the heat of, like, the moment and trying to figure everything else out and it's just difficult to find time to pray?
Well, that's why we don't leave the house without prayer. So every morning before we even leave the house, we are all praying together and spending that time with God and talking to Him and saying, Lord, trusting Him, basically coming to Him and say, well, Lord, I'm about to walk out this door and I'm going to need your help. So I want you in every decision I make. I want you in every direction I'm going in. I want you in my entire day. And basically throughout the day, you talk to God, you speak to Him. If you have something that you don't know how to do, you ask Him. If you have a decision to make, you ask Him. And sometimes I tell Him, even in the mornings, I say, and I know I'm going to make a lot of split second decisions that I'm going to make without even thinking about Him, that He would also help me with those, that it would be the right decision. Because we do face a lot of quick decisions that we make even before we start off our day.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide you through the day. Because God speaks to us all through the day. He speaks to us. He guides us in many, many different ways. It's not just a still voice on the inside. It is somebody would walk up to you and say something to you. Or something would happen. And it's like, oh, God is speaking to me.
Mm-hmm. So when you pray, do you pray to God the Father, the Son, or Holy Spirit? There's a lot of debates about this, of who you're supposed to pray for or pray to. But what do you believe about that?
Well, the Bible says that, Jesus said to His disciples, in that day you will ask me nothing, but whatever you ask, you will ask of the Father. So when you have petitions and when you ask anything, you ask it of the Father, not Jesus. Now, can you pray to Jesus? Absolutely. I mean, I tell Jesus all the time how grateful I am for what He did for me, because I realize that it's because of His sacrifice that I will not spend an eternity in condemnation. So I speak to Jesus all the time, telling Him how grateful I am. Holy Spirit, I speak to all through the day. I find that I speak to Holy Spirit because He's our counselor. Mm-hmm. So when you go, well, what do I do now? What do I do now? Where do I go? I find that I speak to Holy Spirit. Like, I would be in the car and I would have absolutely no idea where I'm going. And it actually happened this last week that I had to get to a place where I've never been. And I had to get there fast and rush. So I said, Holy Spirit, can you please help me? I need to get there. I don't know how to get there. Can you show me the way? And I need to get there in a hurry. So, and just seeing Him afterwards, when you look at it and you see that I drove right up to the place where I had to be, it's almost like,
wow,
the wow factor.
Like, yeah.
I was not expecting it to be that close to where I was supposed to be. And then He even sent somebody out to meet me so that I would know where to go.
Aww.
And that to me is God speaking to me and God helping me, answering my prayer. He answered my prayer. I asked that I didn't know where to go.
Mm.
And He got me straight to the place where I needed to be.
Mm. Wow. So that kind of leads to another question of, When you're praying for something and you're earnestly wanting something, I know we spoke about about using like scriptures, making sure you're praying, and you said pray to the Father with requests. But when you're praying and you're really wanting something, how do you hear God, and how do you how does God confirm things to you? So let's say I know that you moved here all the way from South Africa, and that's something that's really big, and you need to make sure you, like, you know that it was from God. How do you hear God, and how does God confirm things to you?
Well, so over the years, I learned to pay attention to that still voice on the inside that guides you. It's a voice that it's almost like it's feels like it's in your mind. So it's not somebody who actually speaks in your ear, although he can, but it's more like a voice that is a still voice that's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very calm. He's very calm when he speaks to you. And I also notice that many times when he speaks to you with a still voice, that you would, there would immediately be a counter message trying to deter you from doing it, which kind of like reverts me back to that parable that says that the word of God is sown and the enemy comes immediately and try to steal mm-hmm. it away. So that kind of always is like an indication. I pay attention to when there's a immediate and counter, no, don't do it. And I'm like, oh, wait, was that you, God? And then, yes, I would ask more for confirmation before just going off that must be God, because God will confirm to you that if it's him or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then also sometimes he talks with having peace, absolute peace on the inside. When you want to do something and you say, Lord, I'm going to do this. And whatever you try to do, however you try to work it, you just don't have peace. Then I've learned that I would rather not do it and wait until I have peace, or don't do it at all, because in the times that I have done it, I found out that that was God speaking to me saying, don't do, was that I didn't have peace on the inside about it, or something would happen. Not that it would be like detrimental, nothing ever detrimental, but you, in some of those instances, I would go afterwards and say, oh, that was God. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have gone this way, or shouldn't have done this. And then you kind of regret that you did it.
You did, yeah.
So also he speaks through his word. Sometimes you open up his word and he would a verse that just pops right out to you that is something. And I find a lot of times that he uses his word to speak to your heart and things that you have not expressed to other people. So God sees the most intimate part of your heart. Even if you don't share it with him, he still sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he would answer you the questions and the thoughts you have in your head with scripture, even long before you reach out to him to ask it, or even reaching out to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you the answer and it creates a connection point, because it's a relationship. Just as much as you go to God and say, hey, God, mm-hmm. I have this in my heart. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
God does the same. He tries to connect with you, find a connection point, so that you would start talking to him and say, oh, Lord, I see this scripture and I have this in my heart. Can you help me? And then it opens up the conversation to where God can help you with whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever it is you go through.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So how can you be sure that you are you are praying according to the perfect will of God for you? Because let's say something small could be God doesn't want a person to have a monkey, but this person has been praying for a monkey every single day. How can you be sure that you are praying the perfect will of God? And do you always, will you pray and be like, God, if it's your will at the end? Or do you just, you believe that whatever your heart's desires is, are God's heart's desire?
Well, okay, so I'll use this example. there was a job that I really wanted. I asked God, I really, really wanted this job.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me this job. Now I know, looking back, that that was not His perfect will. But He gave it to me anyway because I wanted it so much. Now, what happened with this job is that the company went bankrupt. And I was, again, without a job after the company went bankrupt.
Wow.
But me wanting it so much, God said, okay, you can have it.
Mm.
I didn't know because, yes, I also pray and ask God for His perfect will for me and whether this job is right or not. But I really want it. So He answered me, giving me the job. I was very happy. I was walking on cloud nine because God answered my prayer mm-hmm. at the time. Looking back, seeing that it closed down, I could see that it wasn't God's perfect will. Was I upset with God? Say, asking Him, well, why didn't you stop me? No, because I really wanted to work there. Even after the fact, and perhaps God saw that too in my heart, is because even after the fact that I lost my job and had to look for a different job, I was still, well, if I had it all over, I would still work there. So I was still happy for the time that I had worked there versus not working there. And it shaped me, but it also showed me that God will sometimes answer our prayers, what we want, rather than what's the perfect will. Because perfect will for God would be like, oh, well, you're going to sit without a job in a year and a half, and then you have to look for something new.
Mm.
Maybe we should look for something else.
Mm.
But He didn't say no, and He didn't insist on the perfect will. He gave me that what I want. So what I would recommend is make sure that rather ask God, say, Lord, I want my heart to be in line with Yours so that I want what You want. So that because I want Your perfect will, help me to get to that perfect place, because that would avoid quite a few of those. Because if I had to go from one job to the other where I have to find a job every other year, then yes, that can be really tiring and exhausting to keep looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather recommend in bringing your heart in alignment with God, saying like, Lord, I want what You want. Help me to be in Your perfect will.
Hmm. So that's incredible. It's, I know a lot of people, even listening right now, are dealing with different things like just trying to choose a career or trying to decide where you want to go to school or different things. So you're just saying, make sure that you're praying that your heart would align to God's heart and what He has for you.
Yeah.
Because that can be, it can be challenging, even for me, trying to like choose a career path and what should I do next. And lots of people have dreams of being stay-at-home moms, but then it's also not always possible. So just continue to trust in God with all of that, as hard as it can be sometimes, or even sometimes it can be as simple as just saying, God, I trust You. But what is a piece of advice that you would give to married or dating or engaged couples that want to have a good prayer life together?
I would say to them that start praying together even before you get married, and have a common goal, meaning that both of you want to serve God to the best of your ability. Not saying that you already know everything about God, everything about relationship, but simply saying that, Lord, we trust You, and we come as imperfect people, but we want to grow together in You. I think the most important decision my husband and I could ever make when we started off our life together was to say, Lord, You are in the center and we are on the side, and You are the glue that holds us together. Help us to to grow in you, but also to grow together. And I would also recommend that over the years, do not stop praying together, and do not stop praying for your spouse or even the person that you're dating right now.
Mm.
Because it's important, because the enemy will always try to destroy relationships. He will always try to get between to get between people to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not God's design. That's not what God wants. He wants us to be in unity so that our prayers can be answered.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say pray for your boyfriend, pray for your fiance, pray for your husband, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because by doing also that, you will start appreciating the person and the person that God made them to be. Because sometimes we can look at all the negative and nitpick the person. But when you start praying for them, you start to see the beauty that God created. You see the person God created, and you see their talents and their strong points and the value they bring to your life and the blessing that they are to you by just simply praying for them.
And when you say praying for them how exactly?
Well, so typically what I would do is I would pray, starting off saying to God, thank you for my husband. Thank you for the blessing that he is to me. Thank you for all the things that he does throughout the day, that he takes care of us, that he loves us, that he's there for us, that he's a good father to my son, that he is a man of God who seeks God with all of his heart. And because of that, we live in peace, because a man of God is the leader of the house. So I start off with that, and then I also ask God to bless him, and then I ask God that he would also help him with whatever struggles he's going through. Because as a wife, I can see that the enemy comes at the husband first, and that he takes the most attacks, because, you know, what they say about high trees get the most wind. So it happens as well that Satan will go after the leader to deter them first, or destroy them, because then he kind of gets the whole household. So it's very important to cover each other in prayer. And it goes the same way that husband should pray for wife, or boyfriend should pray for girlfriend, fiancés pray for each other. Because it's when we cover each other in prayer, we make it harder for the enemy to get to us.
That's so good. Yeah, I love the tall tree analogy, because it's definitely so true, but sometimes it can be difficult to remember that the enemy's out there and he's always trying to get at us in some sort of way. Yes, that's incredible. Thank you so much. I would just ask if you could please pray for everyone listening, for their prayer walk with God, and that they will grow closer to him.
Absolutely, yes. Father God, thank you for this time that we could be together today, Lord. And thank you for this opportunity that I have for praying for so many listeners, Lord, that is listening to this. Father, I do pray that you may help them with a deeper understanding of the heart of the Father, that how you want to, you desire to connect with him. You desire to have a relationship with him. You desire to help them with the most intimate secret in their hearts, Lord. Thank you that you are so faithful, that you love and care for your people so much. I pray, Lord, for all these people listening, that they may connect with you in a meaningful way, Father, in their prayer life, that they may, that you may help them to grow in prayer, to grow in you, and to see the reward, Father, of having this prayer, having this relationship with you. Because it's through prayer that you grow us too, Father, that you help us to grow. So I thank you that you touch our listeners, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Lisa, for coming on this podcast and speaking Such incredible words, and thanks to everyone listening. I loved having you, and I'm sure everyone else did, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlotte. This was an honor.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and hope you come back soon for more podcasts. Bye for now.